Hi, listeners. This is Cody from Unfortunate History. I'm here to give you a quick warning that the following episode contains disturbing details that are not suitable for younger audiences. If you are a younger listener, or if you're someone that doesn't do well with graphic details of murder, death, or other similar material, I invite you to listen to some of our other episodes that don't contain this warning. Otherwise, please continue listening, and as always, stay unfortunate.
This is Unfortunate History.
What's up, everybody? This is Cody Pennington.
And this is Greg Skinner.
And welcome to Unfortunate History, a podcast that covers the interesting, wacky, and unfortunate moments in history. But sometimes, it's also a podcast that covers the awful, terrible, and disturbing moments in history, which is exactly what we're doing today.
All the good stuff. This is the stuff we like.
I cannot be more explicit in telling you that this episode is gruesome. We decided to cover a more disturbing topic this week because it's Halloween, but I think that even this story may have been a bit too awful for Halloween.
No such thing. Let's smash out. Again, I know nothing, and I'm excited for this one.
Yeah. Now, on today's episode, we will be diving into the atrocities of Unit 731.
Oh, I do know stuff about this. I have heard of this. That's not anything to be excited about.
Yeah. Well, some of you may have heard of this as well, you listeners, but I know quite a few of you probably have not. So for a brief overview, Unit 731 was a covert biological and chemical warfare research and development unit of the Japanese Army during World War II to discover the effects of different biological and chemical weapons, as well as other less well-known diseases at the time. Unit 731 performed lethal experiments on different, I'd say, arguably quite a few mostly white prisoners of war. Now, the experiments ranged from simple medical interventions that you probably wouldn't bat an eye at to truly evil and sadistic actions against prisoners.
Yeah, I've heard the stories of Unit 731. I'm sure some of this was just pain for the sake of pain.
Yeah, you know what? You could definitely draw some comparisons between Joseph Mengele in this.
I'd say this is arguably worse than the atrocities of Joseph Mengele.
Well, he's still pretty awful. I mean, if you want to compare it to being evil under the guise of medical research, this is almost an exact comparison, especially pretty much near the exact same time that it was all going on.
Yeah,
which is weird. It's like all the evil people were born at one time. It's really weird.
They all skipped hand in hand, right into it.
Hand in hand with blades just cutting everybody's limbs off as they strolled by. Now, some of this information will be pretty brutal. So in an attempt to alleviate some of the more intense moments of the episode, I will be quizzing Greg on Disney films.
I'm going to suck at that.
Yeah, you are. I'm going to ask you which Disney film a certain quote comes from, and if you're able to tell me the answer, then you don't really win anything, but hopefully get a little bit of a clap from the listeners.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, the origin of Unit 731 begins with a man named Shiro Ishii, and I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but if I am or am not, feel free to email us and let me know. I'll take all the heat in the world for these for Japanese names because I have no idea. Now, I think we should give a slight background to Ishii before we jump into the atrocities. Now, Ishii was born in Shibayama in 1892. Now, during his university years, he studied medicine at Kyoto Imperial University. Then, in 1921, he was commissioned into the Imperial Japanese Army as a military surgeon. Actually, if you want to really draw the comparison, quite similar to Joseph Mengele up to this point. Did medical school, commissioned in Germany, and went on to being a terrible person.
So he wasn't actually, these people aren't stupid, you know what I mean? They're actually quite intelligent people that just don't have a moral compass.
Yeah, well, they always say that some psychopaths are just genius.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at, there's like that middle ground between solving world hunger and butchering a family.
Like every Nobel Peace Prize winner at some point has thought about, like, I wonder what lungs look like outside the body while breathing.
What was that? Bloody Eagle.
The Bloody Eagle. I didn't even make the comparison there for a second, but yeah. I'm glad I did.
Yeah. Now, for you military nuts out there, as I'm kind of interested in this stuff too, just a little bit of in-depth information, Ishii's rank was Surgeon Lieutenant when he first commissioned into the Army. Now, I believe that Japanese forces actually have separate military ranks for medical personnel. So instead of just being a lieutenant, he would be Surgeon Lieutenant. Or instead of being a major, he'd be Surgeon Major, which I just thought was interesting.
It's pretty cool.
Now, a year after being commissioned, Ishii was assigned to the first Army hospital and Army medical school in Tokyo. He impressed his superiors enough to gain postgraduate medical schooling at his previous university, Kyoto Imperial University. And I think this was just kind of the Army deciding to pay for him to go back to school because he was so impressive. I think that's why he was awarded that. Now, while he was studying his postgraduate education, this was a big fact about him, Ishii would grow bacteria pets in Petri dishes. Or Petri dishes.
Fucking nut.
Which made him known to the university staff, probably as the weird dude that walks his Petri dishes three times a day or something.
Come on. Come on, Tintin. He's just dragging a Petri dish. Come on, Goo. Third episode running, we've got him in.
Now, after his schooling, Ishii began to advocate for the creation of a Japanese bioweapons program. He pretty much went full fucking ham. He was like, you know what? I went to school. I thought about it. We should start killing people with biological weapons. And it was just...
Did she come from, like, you know, the nerd with the Petri dish pets too? Let's fuck people up.
Yeah, the university staff at Kyoto Imperial University laughed at him one too many times.
Fucking nerd. Listen, these are the people. This is what happens when you pick on people. They become extreme.
I'll tell you right now, he deserved to be picked on a bit harder for what's coming up.
Yeah.
Now, to further this goal of creating Japan's first bioweapons program, Ishii began a two-year tour of the West in 1928, where he performed extensive research into the effects of biological and chemical warfare. When I say the West, I mean more Germany.
Because
as many of you may know, Germany was pretty good at bioweapons, as evidenced by their use in World War I. So they had already been experimenting with it, and they already had quite a bit of stuff.
Is biological warfare... banned now under the Geneva? Is it the Geneva Convention? Is that banned now? Is biological warfare still allowed?
No, it's not allowed. I don't think it's ever been allowed.
I mean, it was commissioned to do during war. People did it during war. I'm just wondering if, because like landmines are banned now. There's a load of stuff that's banned in war.
Well, yeah, they do that. They ban it, but people just use it.
Yeah, no, I mean, under the Geneva Convention. It's the Geneva Convention, right?
Yeah, and then each individual country has their own laws around that as well. Like in America, it's the law of armed conflict, the LOAC. So
it's not the ref for war. Lord.
Yeah, so like the Geneva Convention is pretty much the agreement to not use certain things, to not do certain things to each other during war so that we can have gentlemanly conflicts. Although our wars consist of people that have not signed up to the Geneva Convention, so it's kind of, there's no point.
We're like flying drone strikes over third world countries, is that not
it? Yeah, I'm pretty sure that would be considered overkill by definition.
Yeah.
Well, Ishii's research garnered him a lot of support, from high-ranking officials, and it was in 1935 that Ishii was promoted to Surgeon Lieutenant Colonel, later being promoted to Sergeant Major General eventually, and then he was awarded in 1936 formal control over Unit 731. Now, a good question to ask at this point is, what was the point of Unit 731? I know he wanted to create these biological weapons, but what was the point of the unit? Well, since Ishii garnered so much high-level support, Unit 731 was created to be the biological and chemical warfare research hub for all of Japan. This is where Japan would develop their deadliest weapons, arguably.
Okay.
And with the development of biological and chemical weapons also comes the testing of those weapons. Thus, Unit 731, along with smaller unit detachments, were set up to perform these tests, and they were hidden under the moniker the Epidemic Prevention and Water Purification Department.
It was the polar opposite. There was no pure water there.
No, there wasn't. It was awful. Okay, we're going to get to it now. I promise you, listeners, we're getting into it.
Was there a Unit 730 or a Unit 732? Why was it Unit 731? Why is that what they went to?
Not 100% sure, but I know they had a Unit 16-something, a Unit 600. So I don't think they had 700. Well, they might have had 700 units, but I'm not sure exactly why they landed on 731. Could be to do with where they were located, possibly, because they were in northeast China, is where this was situated. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure.
This was situated in China?
Yeah, I'm getting to that right now. See, the formation of Unit 731 began with the forced eviction of the residents of 8 Chinese villages to make way for the entire headquarters. Huge amount of area. Now, at this point, the Japanese army already occupied a large portion of China. With the displaced population, as we'll see, also came a number of homeless people on which Unit 731 would be able to test. Along with the homeless, criminals, expat citizens like those from Russia living in China, prisoners of war, and even children would also be among the test subjects.
They did not fuck about. The Japanese have done some shit to the Chinese in the history, haven't they? They haven't been the most pleasant.
I think throughout all of the history, you can find atrocities committed by everybody. I mean, oh my God, like Native Americans from the, you know, Americans, the Jewish people for the Germans. You know, there's so much there.
And the English have never, ever, ever done anything wrong.
Well, yeah. Sure. Hopefully saying that will get rid of our one star review on Apple Podcasts.
You have not let that go, have you? You are clinging on to that.
We'll talk about it at the end of the episode. I'm going to bring that up at the end of the episode. Stay tuned.
Fuck that guy.
Now, because this episode is a Halloween episode, I think we'll do a deep dive into the atrocities committed as opposed to the people. I wanted to mention Ishii because he obviously started the whole thing, but we're going to pretty much just dive into the things that happened, because this is where the brutal stuff comes from.
That's the gruesome bit that we want to listen to if you're morbidly curious like me.
If you are morbidly curious, this is a good episode. Now, please be warned that some of the next sections are truly awful things to hear. Please consider this your trigger warning, and that is for every single trigger out there. Every trigger you could think of, this one contains it. And I'm not being facetious. So if you know that you are not one to do well with disturbing details, please listen to another episode, possibly our more lighthearted Emu War episode. Such a fun one.
Whoa, not so good for those 3 dudes who couldn't kill off the emus, but hey-ho.
Barry and Nick, and I thought it was really fun. That was a fun episode.
Oh, it was a good episode. But back to the horrible shit.
Yeah. Now, firstly, since Unit 731 was developed to assist with the creation of Japan's biological and chemical weapons, we'll begin with those tests. Mm-hmm. Now, there are a lot of accounts about what happened in Unit 731. Some come from diaries written by POWs while in captivity there. Some come from former Unit 731 medical employees. These testimonies are often backed up by comparing the testimonies to different documents from the time. Like, for instance, say a certain high-level military official may have visited Unit 731 at a certain time. Well, one of the POWs would have noted that in his diary on the same day.
Okay.
So there is contributing evidence that kind of backs each other up. But as for proper documentation, there is none.
Was it all destroyed?
All incriminating evidence was destroyed, which we will touch on in a moment a little bit later in the episode. Although the accounts are debated, for this episode, we will make the claim now that the biological experiments to follow did occur.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, the biological experiments had pretty much 2 components. First is what I'll refer to as the small-scale testing, and then there was obviously the large-scale testing. For the small-scale testing, I'll describe part of the experience of Major Petey, a British Army officer and POW held in Unit 731 that kept a very detailed diary. Major Petey was held at Unit 731 for, I believe, between 1 to 2 years.
Fuck.
At the very least, it was months. At the very least.
It's enough in that place.
Yeah, it was a lot of time there. Quite a bit of time. I mean, within this time, he recorded many experiments being done on those in his company. However, those experiments are arguably the least intense that we will discuss today.
Okay.
Firstly, all of the men who were mainly described as white were consistently injected with unknown substances. Now, at first, these vaccines generally cause no issues, and the men are described as being somewhat jovial, joking around while they're waiting in the vaccination lines. They're just pretty much joking with each other and having a good time, just trying to get through being a prisoner of war. Because a lot of people don't understand that a lot of countries treat prisoners of war, they don't treat them great, but they treat them like regular prisoners. They don't necessarily torture them.
Yeah.
That's not a normal thing for them to just rip people apart and torture them.
Like they end up doing.
Well, yeah, we'll see. So they were not under the impression that these injections were anything sinister.
They just thought it was like a test trial for a new vaccine, something like that.
Actually, no, they thought that they were just trying to keep them healthy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. See, they thought since they had gotten there, they were being kept in healthy conditions. They were getting really good rations. They were getting extra rations, actually. They were made sure that they weren't overworking themselves. They weren't too sick. And they thought that these were just kind of booster shots just in case to help them stay healthy in the prisoner environment.
From what I remember, I'm pretty sure that it was, because I might be jumping ahead, but I'm pretty sure that it was the Chinese who got it the worst, and some of the others were kind of treated better purely on race, I guess.
Well, give me just a moment. Let's see.
Okay.
Now, like I said, at first the vaccines generally caused no issues, and the men were quite happy to receive them. Not happy to receive them, but they weren't in bad situations. However, the things began to take a turn when the men started to develop serious, constant diarrhea.
Ooh.
And this isn't normal diarrhea, okay? I know you might giggle at this, and I know listeners might giggle at this, but this is not normal diarrhea. This is horrific stuff that you cannot control yourself. Now, over the course of a few months, this diarrhea steadily got worse for every one of the men in PD's company, and men began dying daily, literally shitting themselves to death. I know you might giggle at that, but I'm being serious. It is nobody who's listening to this has ever shit themselves so much from diarrhea that they were literally almost dead. These people were dying from this.
It's not where your body's just literally flushing every nutrient it's got out completely every time, so your body just can't take anything, can it?
Yeah, and it's also just dehydration. Dehydration will kill you very quickly, or relatively, yeah. I think it's 2 days, 3 days or something.
If you're lucky, I'm sure dehydrating straight away.
Not straight away.
Not literally straight away. I'm saying just quickly.
Yeah. Well, the men who are unknowingly being injected with deadly diseases would request medical assistance from the Unit 731 doctors. Because up to this point, like I said, they had been treated relatively well for POWs. They had had a large amount of food provided, and they were generally kept healthy. But it began to change. Now, when the men asked for assistance from the doctors, they were taken by guards to a field where they were forced to play baseball, or they were forced to sprint for long periods.
Oh, God.
Now, if a man did not soil himself, he was said to be lying, and he was sent away with no help from the doctors whatsoever.
Fucking hell. You have to shit yourself to get to see a doctor.
Yeah, yeah. Visibly. That's what they mentioned that in the book that I read.
Trying to see a doctor in these days kind of feels like you'd have to go through those kind of hoops to actually see one, so.
Yeah, and you have to pay for the privilege in America. Well, the doctors eventually began examining the men. They finally started doing something, but it wasn't exactly what the men were expecting. To do this, the doctors would insert a glass rod into the men's anuses to inspect their colons.
Fucking hell.
Although, after all this was done, poking and prodding, they were never actually provided any medicine. The men were just asked questions to test their mental capacity, and then they were sent back to the holding cells to either eventually die or to be examined another day.
What were they injected with, do we know? Or are you going to get to that?
I'm not 100% sure, but I think it might have been either cholera or... Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I don't think it was botulism, but I think it might have been cholera. But it was... I'll get to what... they experimented on in Unit 731, and it'll probably have been one of these diseases.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah. Now, many men died during this particular experiment, and the numbers are debated, but it was likely to be over 1,000. Now, Major Petey, however, apparently, according to his diary, survived and did find his way back to England to be with his family.
He survived the literal shitstorm.
Yeah, I don't know. That's all I could find after that, as Major Petey, is that he's mentioned in this book about Unit 731.
What is with British majors and just surviving? Like, if you're British and major, you will live.
Yeah, well, you just, you know, you put your brawly up and just you just walk on, you know,
stiff upper lip.
Now, this is only one form of biological experimentation performed by Unit 731, but some of the more heinous experiments will be discussed in a moment. Now, further tests in this small-scale capacity for biological warfare tests also included testing prisoners with bubonic plague, cholera, smallpox, botulism, and other diseases.
If you remember our last episode, you might recognize a few of those names.
Yeah, and you're about to hear a bit more about bubonic plague now. Now, I mentioned that there was also large-scale biological warfare testing. As Unit 731 was positioned in China, it was a perfect staging area for the Japanese to test biological warfare on actual people.
Was it just like citizens who weren't even kept in Unit 731? Like, were they dropping stuff on villages or...
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, okay.
To do this, the unit bred plague-infected fleas, bred them inside the unit. And these fleas were then spread by low-flying airplanes on Chinese cities. This ended up killing tens of thousands of people with epidemics of the bubonic plague alone.
Fuck.
This one thing that they were attempting ended up killing tens of thousands of people, just the fleas.
As a test,
yeah. Now, Unit 731 had also planned to use the plague as a biological weapon against San Diego, California, during World War II. Now, this attack was planned to occur 5 weeks after the Japanese had surrendered. Kind of cut it close to the neck there.
Mm-hmm. Well, they had fleas. You guys had a fucking nuclear bomb. So
yeah, but through the use of those plague fleas, infected clothing, supplies, and other infected material, the unit caused large-scale outbreaks of cholera, anthrax, and plague, which were estimated to have killed at least 400,000 Chinese civilians.
Just by excess, like just...
This was just chemical attacks upon China, upon different Chinese cities. They were testing all of these biological weapons. I'm sure they were so full of themselves as well, saying like, oh yes, yeah, we're doing great. But nearly 500,000 Chinese civilians died from just developing these weapons.
Fucking hell.
Now, Unit 731 was not only concerned with biological and chemical warfare. They also used prisoners in the testing of certain weapons. Human targets were used to test grenades. And to do so, the prisoners were positioned at various distances and in various positions. Prisoners were also used to test flamethrowers.
Fuck. Flamethrowers are no joke. They're not just spitting fire. It's literally liquid fire. It's like napalm in it. It sticks to the skin and just... another banned weapon, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's very terrible.
Horrifically inhumane.
Yeah. The prisoners were also tied to stakes and used as targets for pathogen-releasing bombs, chemical weapons, and explosive bombs. While still tied to the stakes, they were also used to test bayonets and knives.
Test bayonets and knives. There's so many ways you can test a bayonet and knife on not a living person.
Yeah, but they had them, so
I guess so.
Why not?
I guess so.
Now, further testing and experimentation got much more sadistic. Along with depriving subjects of food and water to determine the length of time until they died, they were also placed in low-pressure chambers until their eyes popped from their sockets.
Good God, man, I can't imagine what that would actually feel like your eyes been literally just bursting.
I have no idea. There were also experiments on the relationship between temperature, burns, and to which extent humans could survive them. Prisoners were placed in centrifuges and spun until they died. They were injected with animal blood, seawater, exposed to lethal doses of x-rays, sent to gas chambers, and burned or buried alive and electrocuted. These are all not just... this is not just them killing them. This is not them putting them to death. This is them testing these ways of hurting these people. They're not doing this to kill them. They're doing this to see what effect it has on the body. So these people aren't being electrocuted and then dying. They're being electrocuted and surviving and then having to be... pretty much, we'll discuss it in a bit, having to be examined of what effects occurred.
Fucking hell. So basically like autopsies while you're still going.
Well, we'll get to that in a bit.
Ugh, fuck.
Now, this is when we are going to start using our Disney quizzes.
Oh, fuck.
After this next bit of information.
Okay.
Now, one area the unit devoted a large amount of time to was that of frostbite.
Mm.
Now, the test they would perform would sometimes involve taking captives outside, dipping different extremities into water, and allowing them to freeze. Now, to determine if the limb was frozen, the extremity would be struck with a short stick until it emitted a sound similar to striking a board.
Fucking hell, that's so brutal.
Ice would then be chipped away, and the area would be doused with water. or the limb would be brought close to a fire. And to determine if any area was still frozen, the prisoner would just be bludgeoned and to see if they could feel it. Now, one Japanese army major is quoted as saying the following of the frostbite experiments. And this is where we're going to have a quiz.
I think I know what's coming. Go.
This is a quote from the Japanese army major. The technician placed the woman's hands into a freezing apparatus and lowered its temperature to minus 10 degrees Celsius, then slowly reduced the temperature to minus 70 degrees. The condition of the frostbite was then studied. The result of the test was that the flesh fell from the woman's hands and the bones were exposed. One of the women had given birth in prison, and the baby was also used in a frostbite test. A little later, I went to look into the woman's cells, and they were all empty. I assume that they died.
Jesus Christ. I'd heard the story about the taking the skin off like it was a glove, basically. Imagine seeing that on yourself, just seeing the skin fall from your hands.
Oh, it's awful, man. I mean, it's pretty, this is not nowhere near the worst we're going. This gets much worse, but this is still pretty brutal to think about.
And again, it was just for the sake of doing it.
Actually, to that point, before we get to our Disney quiz, the most sickening part of this experimentation is that the research data received for, at the very least, frostbite is actually still, it still forms a lot of our treatments of frostbite to this day.
So it came in handy.
This particular experimentation did come in handy in the medical field.
Fuck.
Well, just to add a little bit of brevity, alleviate a little bit of tension. Greg, what Disney film is the following quote from?
Okay.
Always let your conscience be your guide.
Oh, God, I'm not an expert on Disney. Always let your conscience be your guide.
Do you want me to give you a hint?
Give me a hint.
Okay. So you're being told what the conscience is, so you probably didn't have it before, and now you have a conscience.
The Wonderful Adventures of the People at Unit 731.
No.
Is that not a new Disney film that's coming out about how he gained a conscience at the end and went, oh, be free, prisoners?
No, you're going to be really angry at the end. It has a cricket in it.
Bug's Life.
No, fucking no. It's Pinocchio. Moving on.
I really got excited when I thought Bug's Life. Is that even Disney?
I think it's Pixar.
Oh, Pixar. Okay, let's carry on. Okay, but not enough laughter. Back to the shit stuff.
Now, I mentioned a moment ago that we would come back to some of the biological research. One area that is particularly awful was that of syphilis. Now, in the beginning, certain prisoners were injected with syphilis and then studied to see its effects on the body. However, one prison guard said the following about the method of injecting the syphilis. Quote, infection of venereal disease by injection was abandoned, and the researchers started forcing the prisoners into sexual acts with each other. Four or five unit members dressed in white laboratory clothing completely covered the body with only eyes and mouth visible, rest covered, handled the tests. A male and female, also sometimes male and male, one infected with syphilis, would be brought together in a cell and forced into sex with each other. It was made clear that anyone resisting would be shot.
Fuck, man.
Yeah.
Jesus. I'm trying to... There's no jokes to be made here.
No, we can't really joke around about any of this, really.
No.
We're an entertainment podcast, but it's Halloween, so, you know. Well, actually, as a bit of terrible information, some children grew up inside Unit 731, also infected with syphilis.
Are you telling me what I think you're telling me?
Give me a moment. These children would also be examined to determine the effects of the disease that the disease had on the body in different stages and at different ages. Now, Greg, to answer your question, please note that the next bit of information has to do with sexual assault.
Oh, I knew this was coming, man.
Now, female prisoners of Unit 731 were subjected to rape and forced pregnancy. The reason for this torture was so that the unit could study the transmission of diseases from mother to child, particularly syphilis. There are no reports of children surviving Unit 731, although some did grow up there. There's no evidence showing that any of them made it out alive. It is actually suspected that the children or the female prisoners were killed after birth or aborted. In a very graphic bit of detail, a guard described how the female prisoners, while also being experimented on and forced into forced pregnancy and rape with people with syphilis, were also subjected to sex crimes. The guard stated, and I'm going to paraphrase slightly here because there's a bit of choice words that made my stomach turn. Quote, "One of the former researchers told me that he had a human experiment scheduled, but there was still time to kill. So he and another unit member took the keys to the cells and opened one that housed a Chinese woman. One of the unit members raped her, and the other member took the keys and opened another cell. There was a Chinese woman in there who had been used in a frostbite experiment. She had several fingers missing, and her bones were black with gangrene setting in. He was about to rape her anyway. Then he saw that her sex organ showed signs of syphilis. So he gave up the idea, left and locked the door, then later went on to his experimental work."
Fuck, these... Oh, man, I can't even get my words out with that. That is fucking sickening.
Yeah, it's pretty rough, man. Greg, what Disney film is this quote from? "The flower that blooms in adversity is the most rare and beautiful of all."
even the Disney quotes aren't making me happy at the minute after that. Beauty and the Beast?
Nope, it was Mulan.
God damn, I should have known that.
I hope these listeners are keeping tally of their own scores. I'm sure you guys are guessing along with, right with Greg. Yeah, that bit of information is difficult to hear. I know that. And I hope the people that are listening heard the trigger warning before they got into that, because I know some people would be very triggered by that and not enjoy listening to that whatsoever. But the worst bit of experimentation is now to come.
It's getting worse!
Now, finally... One of the worst bits of experimentation was, as we sort of alluded to earlier, vivisection. Now, for those of you that do not know what vivisection is, it helps to break down the actual word. Viva, which comes from the Latin vivis, meaning alive, and sectio, meaning cutting. This refers to the cutting of a living organism, and in this case, the organism was humans.
I know where this is going. Okay.
Thousands of men, women, children, and infants imprisoned at the camp were subjected to vivisection without anesthesia.
I was about to ask. I'm pretty sure they weren't going to be that nice to them, were they?
Vivisections were performed on people infected with various diseases, with the researchers removing organs to study the effects of disease on the body. Now, a 17-year-old former medical assistant at Unit 731, somebody that was there and got his hands dirty, he said the following during an interview in the 1990s. Quote, "The fellow knew it was over for him, and so he didn't struggle when they let him into the room and tied him down. But when I picked up the scalpel, that's when he began screaming. I cut him open from the chest to the stomach, and he screamed terribly, and his face was all twisted in agony. He made this unimaginable sound. He was screaming so horribly. But then he finally stopped." Now, no anesthesia was used during these vivisections because it could likely taint the results of the experiments, as it was claimed by Unit 731 researchers. Now, prisoners also had limbs removed to study blood loss. Some prisoners were cut open and their stomachs were removed, with their esophagus attached directly to their colon. Researchers would remove portions of different organs, including the spleen, liver, kidneys, lungs, and brain.
Brain! While they're still alive.
While they're still alive.
Well, I suppose brain surgery happens while people are still alive, and there's actually no nerve endings in the brain, but still the brain!
I'm pretty sure cutting open your head would still be very painful.
Yeah, that bit would suck. That bit would suck.
Now, similar experiments were also performed on infants. But... I, along with the book I read, refuse to go into detail on anything to do with that because the way it's described is absolutely heartbreaking and I can't even go into it. It's very terrible to even think about. These kids went through, if you listen to all of the things that happened to the adults, the infants went through the same stuff and it's terrible.
You gotta be, I remember I heard that, I heard in the story that the people who worked at Unit 731 used to call the prisoners logs.
They did, yeah.
Yes, because just thought they were subhuman to them, not even human, but they were logs.
Well, the public authorities near Unit 731, they were under the assumption that it was a log farm, like a log farming place, like where you would cut down trees. So they kind of went with that as a little bit of a joke, and they called them logs, and they would kind of refer to it day to day as saying how many logs fell today, as in how many prisoners have we lost. So yeah, they definitely dehumanized them quite a bit. Pretty awful. That is the last bit of terrible things to hear about. So you don't have to hear any more, but you are going to get pretty angry for this last bit.
I think I know what you're going to go on about. They all got a fucking way with it, didn't I?
Well, let's just listen. Let's just listen.
Let's listen.
Now, it has been claimed that with all of Unit 731's experiments included, just over 500,000 people were killed. This includes those killed in large-scale biological warfare experiments. This is actually referred to as the Asian Holocaust because so many people had died from this one unit's actions. Now, once the war began to die down, you can imagine that Japan probably wouldn't want this information seen in the light of day. The government wouldn't want it anyways.
No.
So as I mentioned earlier, all incriminating documents were destroyed at the behest of Ishii. Now, further to this, 600 Chinese and Manchurian laborers were shot dead. Ishii ordered all remaining members of Unit 731 to disappear and to, quote, take the secret to the grave. And the members were also given potassium cyanide vials in case they were captured. Obviously, this information did get out. And you would expect that the world, at least the Americans and other major powers at the time, would be furious about this. And surprisingly, the Soviets were very aggressive with their reaction, although not necessarily publicly. They actually held trials for 12 top military leaders and scientists from Unit 731. The head prosecuting attorney of these trials was Lev Smirnov, who had actually been one of the top Soviet prosecutors at the Nuremberg trials.
Oh, really?
Or who would go on to be, I guess. I don't know when they brought an action against them. I don't remember if it was... No, it was after the Nuremberg trials, yeah. So he had been a prosecutor at the Nuremberg trials against, obviously, the...
German war criminals.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the doctors and army commanders who had perpetrated the experiments, all of them received sentences from the court ranging between 2 to 25 years in a Siberian labor camp.
Some of these people only got 2 years in a Siberian... Actually, what's a Siberian labor camp like?
It's probably pretty terrible, but this decision was still described as pretty lenient for Soviet standards, especially when it comes to war crimes. But they still, you know, got a bit of punishment.
They got a slap on the wrist for what they did in comparison, but hey-ho.
Yeah. Well, now, you'd expect America probably dropped another atomic bomb or something because of this, but America actually did something entirely different. Instead of charging the members of the unit, General Douglas MacArthur offered the Unit 731's physicians, including Ishii himself, complete and total immunity.
Including Ishii? That cunt! He got it!
Including Ishii. Now, he offered this immunity in exchange for their research on biological warfare and the data they received from human experimentation. The immunity was only offered if they only shared the information with America and no other nation. Now, America felt the information was valuable and did not want other nations like the Soviet Union to gain the biological weapon information. Now, America did, to our credit, did monitor the activities of unit members after this, which included reading and censoring their mails, things like that. Ishii himself was granted war crime immunity for the provision of the information. However, from 1948 to 1958, a whole decade, less than 5% of the documents were transferred onto microfilm and stored in the National Archives of the United States before they were then shipped back to Japan, which leaves, if you're counting, a 95% discrepancy in the documents that he was meant to turn over for his immunity.
So he was still a bitch. He got a get-out-of-jail-free card. He could at least give him some valuable research that might do some good. You know, maybe, you know, he might save some people in the future, this, in air quotes, research, but...
Yeah,
because you guys did it with the Germans as well, didn't you? You took a lot of the German scientists, didn't you? Didn't it have something to do with, like, part of the first rocket that went to space was partly due to
space race.
Was partly due to some of the German scientists. So I can see how some of this knowledge might be helpful.
Yeah, that's Operation Paperclip. Yeah, they used German scientists to beat the Soviets in the space race. I understand the point, but I feel like. I don't know. Now people believe that the moon landing didn't even happen. So what was it all for?
A lot of shitty people got away with a lot of stuff.
I feel like we would have gotten a bit further if we would have just, you know, strung him up in the street in front of the White House.
Yeah, it would have been nice. Ishii can fuck off.
Well, wait and see what happens to him in a minute.
Okay.
Now, response from the Japanese government itself is, to this day, not very forthcoming. History textbooks actually do contain slight references to Unit 731, but nothing to the atrocities that we've described today, because since there are no legitimately explicit documents proving its existence, there's only firsthand accounts from prisoners and the people that worked there, the government has not actually formally acknowledged it.
What, was that not enough to stand up in court?
Well, no, it wouldn't be, would it? It's hearsay. So, I mean, yes, you probably could if you really wanted to take it far enough and if the government wanted to look into it. But I think the emperor at the time was said to have had the knowledge of it, and there's no way that he couldn't have had the knowledge of what was going on. So he would be, shown to
liable himself.
Yeah, he would, obviously, people wouldn't be happy knowing that the emperor let that happen.
Mm.
Now, Unit 731 leader, Shiro Ishii, went on living his life in Tokyo, and he died on 9 October 1959 from laryngeal cancer at the age of 67, which is unbelievably more than that man ever would have deserved.
Is that a horrible death? Is that in any way a horrible death? Did he shit himself to death? Did his skin fall off? Or was it peaceful?
I think I don't want to understate the difficulty of cancer, but compared to what he should have had, yeah, I think, like, you know, this is the kind of person that the Punisher would have taken out, you know?
Yeah, in a horrible way, in a slow way.
Squeezing his head until it just pops, that sort of thing.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Now, according to Ishii's daughter, he converted to Catholicism shortly before his death, so make of that what you will.
Oh, he will. So he confessed his fucking sins, and then he got to go to heaven.
Yeah.
Which, you know, make of what you will.
I could not think of anything else to call this episode other than the atrocities of Unit 731, because that's all there was to it.
Again, we can't really make jokes about and light of this, can we, really?
No, we really cannot. Now, this experimentation was nowhere near worth the cost. The acts committed by Ishii and his depraved researchers were nothing short of just disgusting. We live in a world that is full of evil and true villains, and this is a story about evil and true villains. And these men subjected not just men and women, but also children, infants, the most vulnerable and innocent of any society, to unimaginable pain and torture for the sake of medical research, which, in the end, was found to be worth nothing. And that is truly unfortunate.
Truly unfortunate, and I feel like it wasn't even for the sake of medical research. It got past the point of that. It was for the fucking sake of it. It was just to be... I don't even have to describe it, some of the shit that happened to people there.
Yeah, it's awful, man. Terrible, terrible stuff. But happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, everyone. I hope you have a good day.
Yeah, I hope you go to work now and just slog through it all. Just be happy you're not at Unit 731.
Listen to this first and then get on with your day.
Yeah, yeah. A bit of housekeeping. I really want to say this, and I hope everybody listens to this, especially if you enjoy the podcast. We are getting a lot more listeners.
Yeah.
We're getting a ton more listeners every single day. There's more people following the show. There's more people listening. There's also, I mean, there's more people like literally pressing the follow buttons on everything that they're listening on, which is amazing. And I'm so happy to see all that going up. And welcome to the show if you're just showing up.
Mm-hmm.
But along with more listeners comes more reviews. And as we probably all know, the people more likely to set a review are the people that don't like when we make a political joke or when they don't just like something particular of the show. The issue with this is that some people have left a one-star review in random places. It was one-star ratings, and I'm not upset by it. I know everybody's not going to enjoy the show. That's just the simple truth, and I'm totally fine with that. But if you're going to leave a one-star rating, please leave a review so we know if it's something that you didn't like or something that we could actually change. If it's us as people, you're going to have to go fuck yourself. But
yeah, fuck you guys. Fuck you. We are who we are.
Yeah, but if it's something to do with the show, like audio quality or something along those lines, then let us know. And we can, you know, that's the kind of stuff we can fix. But if you wouldn't mind, listener, if you do enjoy the show, or even if you don't mind leaving us an honest review to help us balance out the numbers that we have on some of the Apple reviews, Like, I think definitely in England. If you're in England and you can leave a review on an Apple device, please do. That would help us balance out the reviews so that other people aren't really turned away when they see that we have a one-star review, just one star just sitting there. And it's like we just kept going at 26 episode and just did not stop.
like, no one likes us and we don't give a shit.
Yeah. So please, if you could do that, that would really help us out. Greg, do you have anything particular you want to shout out?
I don't this week. After that episode, I've honestly got nothing positive to say.
No, it's a pretty difficult one. I hope everybody's going out and don't go out and trick-or-treat without... Well, wear a mask. You get a mask anyways for Halloween, right?
Yeah, there you go. It solves its own problem.
Don't forget to dress up. You need to dress up.
Stay safe, people, and dress up.
Dress up for Halloween. Save lives, you know? If you're going to go trick-or-treating, make people throw you the candy.
Yep, that's how it's got to be done. Shoot it out of a cannon.
Yeah, there you go. Like a T-shirt cannon full of Tootsie Rolls.
Yeah, yeah. At children.
Take that, Unit 731.
Yeah. All right. Hoorah.
Guys, I do want to shout out one particular show a friend of mine came out with recently. Well, if you listen to the Emu War episode, you'll know Rowan did the outro song for that. So if you want to check out some his podcast, All Songs Are Love Songs, it's out on most platforms, I think, now. So just go check that out. He debates a guest each week whether or not a song is a love song. It's generally not normally a love song. I think the last one I listened to was that they did the Imperial March from Star Wars.
And then
my friend Erica makes the determination on who wins, whether it is a love song or isn't. So definitely go check that out. It's good fun. If you want a little break from our voices.
I'm morbid shit.
Yeah.
Our one-star review worthy shit. Is that what you want to hear? Is it one-star review guy? I hope you're happy because you've fucking rocked us.
You know what? I hope it's not. I hope it's not another podcaster that's just jealous because we're killing it.
I listen to our own podcast 137 times a week, so
that's what it is. All of the UK downloads I just imagine is you. I kind of throw them out the window and just say it was you. You probably left the fucking review. Did you not like the editing I did last week, you prick?
It's one of the episodes that I wasn't involved in. I didn't even listen. I just thought, if I'm not going to be involved in it, I'll leave a one-star review.
Captain Morgan my ass.
Yeah. Sam doing a better job than me. Fucking one-star review.
Oh, I miss Sam. Sam, we got to get you on soon. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to follow the show, please Google Unfortunate History. If you want to follow me, just Google Cody Pennington. Greg?
And if you want to follow me, I'm still gskin93. I'm not going to change my Instagram handle to anything to do with Unit 731 because I feel like it's going to be shit.
Let's just forget this episode now.
If you want to find me on Instagram, just look up g.deadkids in Unit 731, something like that. That's not happening this episode.
No, please do not.
I'm not going to.
Guys, get in touch with us. Please send us an email at info@unfortunatehistory.com. Let us just talk to us. We'll respond this time, I promise. I didn't respond to the last two, so we will respond, I promise.
Okay.
Do it, and I hope to talk to you guys soon. But with that said, unfortunately, we got to go. So stay unfortunate.
Stay unfortunate, guys. Ta-ra.
Bye.